This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, it's 6:05 p.m. and our first story for the hour is about larger homes for the poor. The national community policy that the Housing and Local Government Ministry is about to launch in August is proposing larger living quarters for the poor, especially in the people's housing project flats.
Yep, so under the proposal, living quarters at the PPR flats should be at least 900 square foot in size instead of the current 600 is apparently what it is. According to the minister, she says she doesn't want the PPR living quarters and those for the B40 group to be small like birds' nests. So she's going to propose that provisions be made under the 12th Malaysia plan for them to be bigger.
Yeah, so, and I quote, the rooms, living rooms and corridors must be comfortable to live in. There must also be facilities such as recreational areas, surau, hall, library. It's also going to give lots of space for the residents to participate in recreational activities, relax their minds within the community and all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because it's at the moment, it's pretty much non-existent.
Yeah, definitely. I think cramped quarters undeniably would be an issue, especially for large families. That's just untenable. You know, I have a Singaporean friend who lives in an HDB who told me something about how neighbours, you know, you can tell what your neighbours had for dinner because you can smell their burps in HDB flats. It's a really awful,
yes,
horrific scenario to imagine. But, you know...
But hey, also... HDB flats have come a very long
way.
They have. I mean, they're really quite remarkable these days.
They are.
They're much sought after because, well, for the most part, it's a lot. It's the only thing that a lot of young Singaporeans can afford.
Well, there is that. But I think, you know, in the planning, there's also provisions that are actually made if the family is slightly larger. Considerations given to whether or not you have two or three generations, for example, living together. But, you know, with this 600 square feet, I mean, I won't be surprised if it's the cause for a lot of these people who are renting these apartments out, because it's just not feasible to continue staying in there. And I think what you mentioned a little earlier, right, the common spaces, that's part of the proposal and certainly will be part of the solution to a degree. I think it's a good idea, but I do think it needs to be localized and well thought out a little bit, because the devil's in the details, right? So, for example, if you have a hall, how will it be utilized? How often is it going to be used? You know, multi-faith spaces, for example. So,
right,
if we're looking ahead to a new Malaysia that's inclusive, are we building a barrier-free community, for example?
Yes. And also, I mean, I think the additional spaces that they're talking about, I mean, communal halls aside, adults need space. I mean, kids more so. And I think a lot of the time, a lot of children don't have spaces to study, to play. And that, of course, affects development as well.
Yeah. And I mean, even the suggestion of a library. I mean, it sounds great. I really hope, though, that we have in mind where the libraries of today and the future are, because most of them are actually struggling to stay relevant. You know, how much leeway is there for adaptability or flexibility and future proofing?
Well, so, and I think that's the point, right? I mean, when you talk about a library, and maybe you're using the term library, but the form in which it takes is going to be very, very different. It's already very, very different. If you go to schools these days, libraries have less books and more screens. And, you know, that may be the future even in a PPR house.
Exactly. So, you know, the hope is that it would be very thoughtfully implemented. Of course, I want to say historically that hasn't necessarily been the case, but, you know,
are you going to say Malaysia Baru?
In a positive,
yes,
optimistic,
yes,
mindset.
No, but hey, if they're starting with this fresh approach, then, you know, I'm hoping that they will speak to all of the relevant stakeholders. I mean, you know, we're going to be speaking to someone from the UNICEF in a little bit. But of course, you know, UNICEF is a relevant stakeholder. They've done the research. They know what they're talking about. And I think that's what the government should do. And that's what the minister should do. Saying, yes, 900 square feet, it's a great little number you have there. But experts will be able to tell you why 900 square feet? What can you use that 900 square feet for, as well as the surrounding areas?
Yep.
You know, there's so many other problems. Remember the garbage throwing out of the balcony problem? Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things need to be solved, right? And so hopefully this is the first step in the right direction. After this, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Amjad Rabi from UNICEF Malaysia for his thoughts on the matter. In the meantime, Jamestown Revival with Love is a Burden on BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you on the evening edition at 6:14 p.m. We're talking about larger homes over at PPR Housing, as proposed by our new minister. We have on the line Dr. Amjad Rabi, Deputy Representative and Senior Social Policy Specialist at UNICEF Malaysia. Dr. Amjad, thank you so much for joining us on the show. You headed a study published last year by UNICEF and DM Analytics about the living conditions of children among the urban poor. Now, in terms of the size of living quarters, was overcrowding a problem that you observed?
Yes, indeed. We've seen a variety of issues related to the size of the housing units. Just to mention that we only interviewed households with children, so it might be the situation different for households without children or other members of the PPR communities. So what we've seen, the most deprived households are the ones with three generations living in the same household. The situation as is, on average, children in low-cost flats, they have two children on average. And this is similar to the national average in Malaysia, which is 1.93. So technically, there is not much of difference between them and the broader community. However, what we've seen that many households, they have three generations, which is including the grandparents, parents, and children. And why is that? It's critical. They have small house size. So children don't have space to study. They study in the living room. And in the living room, you have maybe the father or the grandmother or grandfather sitting in the living room watching TV. So this is not a very conducive environment. Another issue we've seen also is related to stress level. Well, we didn't ask specifically questions about the stress level of adults. It was expressed by many parents that they are very stressed. They work hard. They put 49 hours a week, which is the same to the national average. They work hard, and they come home yet in small, very small, tiny house with many, like three generations living there. And they indicated that this is very stressful.
Right. So what do you think of this potential proposal for bigger homes in these low-cost homes? I mean, help us understand how it translates.
I very much appreciate the leadership of Her Excellency YB Zuraida Qamariddin, and she raised this issue. I think this is very encouraging to see that she's moving in this direction. What I also appreciated the fact that she linked it to the upcoming 12th Malaysian Plan 2021-2025. This is very important because you need to look at things holistically, not only the size of the unit, but rather the availability of public services. You might have smaller house size, but you have lots of publicly provided services, such as access to public library where children can read and study, or where parents can go for community centers, where grandparents as well can go to community centers. Another area where we need also like to encourage revisiting again is acknowledge that household size vary. You might have household size of seven people and maybe two people. So it might be also like revisit how we allocate based on per capita. So we have a threshold on per capita space for the house size to be allocated for households with children, then to give a bigger size, but also closer to the community where children can go to safe space. I'm happy to share more specific ideas. But one model we can look at is related to the issue of three generations living in the same household. What we can look at the modality where we bring the senior citizens, our respected grandparents who live in the same community, to be part of the service delivery. So if a place is allocated for the community where like children can play, or where we can form a play groups, imagine if we can hire the grandmother, grandparents to be the ones who run those play groups. So this will be win-win-win. Win for children because they will be well taken care of from members from the community. It will be good for our senior citizens that now Malaysia is aging rapidly. So they will have meaningful engagement with the community and providing very meaningful support. And it will be very useful for parents, encouraging mothers to participate in the labor market. So again, very much encouraged by YB's leadership on looking at it in in holistic way, linking it to the next 12th Malaysian exam.
Right. So your study last year outlined several problems, and one issue in particular was highlighted, and that was acute malnutrition among these children. The malnutrition and stunting problem gained a lot of traction in the media, and in our interview, you mentioned that you were engaging with the previous government to address the issue. But with the change in government, has that process been stalled, or is it still in the works? What's the progress like?
Very good question. Indeed, nutrition is a major concern, not only for low-cost flat residents, or even for Malaysia as a whole. We have what we call it double burden, where you have lots of stunted children short to their age, which is, again, we need to highlight stunting has an impact on the cognitive development of the brain of that child. So we have stunting in one hand, and we have obesity in the other hand. Malaysia is one of the most obese country in Asia. So we raised this with the previous government, and to give the credit to the Minister of Health in particular, they've been a very strong advocate, and we worked closely with the Minister of Health. We are now having a very unique opportunity, given the change in government and the leadership of Young Ahmad Berhormat Datisri, Dr. Wan Aziza, as the Deputy Prime Minister, but also as Minister of Women, Children and Community Development. She highlighted the issues that we raised in the report. She took it seriously. I had the honor to meet with her and listen to Datisri insights and see how we can work together. I'm very, very much encouraged with her leadership and her vision to move forward on this. She wanted the concrete actions and the concrete proposals, and we put forward some of our ideas, and we will meet again to provide further support. So I think we are really having a unique opportunity. The leadership has been shown so far, and we're very much looking forward to expedite our engagement to deal with this very, very difficult situation that we hopefully we can achieve the results for the well-being of our children.
Well, that's great news. And what would be some of the other issues that you'd hope to draw to the attention of the current Housing and Local Government Ministry when it comes to improving conditions in low-cost housing?
I think we really need to look at it in totality, not to focus on the size of the house, but rather look at the supporting environment, the broader holistic vision for the development related to issues of low-cost housing. So again, we need to look at certain indicators that are alarming. One is safety in those communities. It was highlighted. A very significant number of young people, they expressed the fact that they don't feel safe. What we need to look at is if we have small-sized houses, firstly, to make sure that the ones with children get a better deal in terms of space. Secondly, we need to make sure that we have supportive environment of publicly provided services, such as the role of public library. We know that many children don't have access to books. It seems that we have the statistics where they can have access to toys. We know that one out of two children don't have one single toy. So we need to look at the totality of it. I think this is the best advice I can give at this stage. And we are more than happy to meet and to provide concrete support. I want to mention that one of the solutions that was provided by young people themselves, we had young people compete against each other to come up with solutions to the statistics we shared with them from our urban studies. The winning solution, they came up with a simple idea of, again, like the community center. So they said, okay, kids don't have space to read, but at least we need to have a community space where they can come, feel safe, and study there. We hired the six young people as interns. So they are now working hard to materialize their idea. So hopefully we'll have like a model, seeing is believing. So where I would really like to invite YB Minister Her Excellency Zuraida Kamaruddin to come when it's completed, to come and see it, and for us to look at possible way for having this pilot replicated if it's successful, and see how we can provide this access to every community where we can even bring the private sector to come and contribute to the development of this centre.
Well, I think that's a brilliant idea. Thanks, Dr. Amjad, for your perspective. We look forward to developments in UNICEF's efforts. That was Dr. Amjad Rabi, Deputy Representative and Senior Social Policy Specialist at UNICEF Malaysia, sharing his thoughts on improving living conditions within PPR housing projects. We've got some more music coming your way. Spencer Davis Group, Somebody Help Me on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.